welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two games by the people for the people and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we are going back over this last season and talking about all the games we've done and what we're looking forward to next year. It is our year-end wrap-up.
Year-end wrap-up, a little bit different than we planned it. We had talked about having Tyranny in here, and then we talked about having Tyranny start the season and ending the season with Afterbirth Plus. And then Afterbirth Plus came out just a couple weeks later than it would need to for that.
Exactly, yeah. So the date finally came out, you know, and Tyranny is a long game, so I think it just makes more sense for us to start off next season with those two games, and then we'll actually move into the Dictator games.
Yeah, and we will. That's not the best way to. it's just Papers, Please 2, Papers, Please 3, Papers, Please 4.
Yeah, the
Dictated games, or the Requested.
I like calling them the Comrade Dictators, though. I think that's actually.
Yeah. It's cute.
It's kind of funny.
So we'll talk about that at the end. We'll talk about what we have to look forward to for the first half of the year next year. So, mm-hmm. You know, thanks to everybody who donated to Duck Stream 2016.
Absolutely.
To make that happen. So, Nick.
Yeah.
I'll ask you a question here.
Sure.
Looking back on games that we did last year, what would you say your, let's get the poison out. What is the biggest disappointment? Something you were looking forward to and didn't end up liking that much? And we had we had some plans with the questions and the like, but we are also kind of looking at the games and stuff because we did a lot of games this year.
Yeah, and we wanted you guys to hear our full reactions. So, yeah. I think actually, you know, there's a couple that are pretty disappointing. But I would say probably the biggest disappointment was Quadrilateral Cowboy.
Mm.
It feels, you know, but descriptive wise on paper, it sounds like it's something that's going to be really good for me and. As we made quite clear in that episode, it was not. And before that, I hadn't played any of the Blendo games, so I didn't really know what to expect. And then it became clear that if I knew what Blendo games were, I probably would have known ahead of time that it wasn't going to quite live up to expectations there.
Like, weirdly, the kind of. But it's the first one they've done that's, like, super gamey.
Yeah, it is the best one.
Well, he's got, what is it, Adam Zombie Smasher, which I haven't played.
Right.
But Will, my old roommate, and a guest on our live episode. Is a big fan of. So that's apparently supposed to be a pretty neat game.
Okay.
He does some that are explicitly like gamey games, and then he has this kind of art games, and this is kind of bridging the gap.
Yeah. Didn't quite work for us.
Yeah, I did not like that game either. But I also, it's hard for me to say it's the most disappointing because it wasn't like made for me.
Right.
You know, like that seemed like it was gonna be like, oh, this is an adventure game with like programming elements and hacking aesthetics and stuff. That's sounds like a Nick game.
Right.
But was not.
So can I try and guess yours?
Yeah,
because there's a couple, but I think probably the one that would have been the biggest disappointment for you might have been Firewatch.
Yeah, there we go. Good guess. Because I mean, the other thing, like Oxenfree, was built up for me.
I was thinking that's another guess. But I feel like Firewatch probably you yourself looked forward to more.
Same thing with Magic Circle would have been a good guess too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm looking at that, and those two episodes happened like it's a rough month.
And Dark Mouse, right? With Firewatch too. Yeah.
We're gonna do Dark Mouse for a Bonfire Side Chat, and yeah. I'm nervous about it. But Firewatch, I had really, really high hopes for, and it's weird because it's ending up on Lottie Game of the Year list, and I don't get it. Like I was really expecting, because I love I've Gone Home so much, and it's not the same people making it, but it's like the same kind of idea and deals with some of the same issues in that it's not about, you know, fighting elves,
right?
Smiting Orkin. You know, it's about relationships and stuff until like all of a sudden it kind of isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to do something I do when I don't like a game. I did this with Oxenfree, and I did this with Undertale. If I don't like a game, I try to figure out what the best like argument for it is, because I assume that there's a good possibility I'm missing something.
Right.
Magic Circle as well. That's something else I did. I was like, what are the best arguments for these things I didn't like? And the best arguments in favor of Firewatch is that it is about like the double-edged nature of escapism. Mm-hmm. You know, like the idea that you get away from everything, and that can be a bad thing and a good thing. And I'm into it.
Right.
I think that that theme, and I was into the kind of setting and stuff. Voice acting's phenomenal. But the actual narrative that they used to get that across just felt like really clunky. Like if I was reading it in like a work class, I would just be like, oh, this like third act thing comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. It needed to be workshopped a little bit more.
That's how I felt about it. And I really, it's weird because I know people who worked on it, tangentially, but I know very well people who are very close to the people who worked on it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's like, I could theoretically find that out, but I also have that feeling of being the last, you know, the only person on earth who feel like, doesn't like that game.
Right.
So I could just be like, ask one of my friends and be like, man, what's, you know, is there like a story there? And they're like, no, it happened perfectly. What are you talking about? And then it's like, well, maybe, you know, maybe it's just me, but it did not work for me as well as I wanted it to.
Right.
And part of that is my expectations. So I will admit that it was like part of it was that high hopes.
Totally.
You know, cause I did have some high hopes. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
But, so Nick, what is, so out of games that we did for this year,
mm-hmm.
What would you say is like the biggest surprise, like something you knew nothing about going into it and came away like really pleasantly surprised?
I think that's probably going to be Momodora. I knew nothing about that game going into it, and it turned out to be just really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, we talked a lot about it, and you guys are going to talk about it even more on Bonfire Side Chat, but it's just an incredibly solid RPG platformer with Dark Souls elements. And like, I think we picked that up on suggestion for various people, and what a perfect, like, I can't believe that game has so little press still.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been championed by a lot of people. I don't know if this is the person who specifically brought it to our attention, but Brian Wade is a huge advocate.
I think he might've bought us copies, if I remember correctly.
Like, I think that's actually true. Yeah. Like, I think he made this happen. He was the change he wanted to see in the world, because he got us to do it, which got me to do it, which means me and Cole are going to do it. Yeah.
Good job, B. Wade.
Yeah, B. Wade is always always good job with B. Wade. That would probably be my answer as well, because I didn't know anything going into it.
Mm.
In order to not have the same answer that you had and talk about other stuff, I'll say Neon Struct.
Yeah, that was another real good one.
Which that was like a real surprise, because I kind of knew that it was a little bit of like a stealth Ventum Up kind of thing. And it had a neon aesthetic, but I didn't know how well it would commit to that. I didn't know anything about like how much the soundtrack would be additive to that, which is something that's like been at least like a weekly listen.
Yeah,
since we did that episode.
That was definitely the big breakout from that for me. But like, even though the game, you know, I talked about it not quite filling the void that I was looking for in it, but the soundtrack of that game is so fucking good.
It's my soundtrack of the year.
It's really
like
good.
I like it more than the Abzu soundtrack, which is also really good.
That's true.
And Enter the Gungeon, which is a really good soundtrack. Like, it was a good year for soundtracks.
Totally.
I like that. I like a soundtrack from a band.
Yeah.
Like that quite a bit, and all the all diegetic music and stuff.
Give me the Hotline Miami 3 already.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for the soundtrack.
Just release the soundtrack. Yeah. So that was a big deal.
Yeah.
To me, and it also, you know, it was one of those things too, where we got to the point where I stopped playing it because we had to record,
mm-hmm.
and I very easily could have just like not done it. And then when I stopped, it got like better. Like if you listen back to the episode, I feel like I'm at the end. I'm like, yeah, I'm at this weird part where I've gone into my own head, and it's kind of weird.
Right.
I don't know where it's going to go, and it ties together pretty well. It's a really great example of something that I always respond to, which is like a modest game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the first time I really noticed that was way back in season one when we did Shadowrun Returns, the first one, where I'm like, this is a game that's not setting out to change the world.
Right.
You know, this is just...
That was definitely a comment we had about it, was it knew its audience and knew what it was trying to be and just did it.
And that's what this does, too. It's like the scope is kind of limited, but it's it does the one thing it's going to do. It does it really well. It does it for like 7 hours and gets out.
Perfect.
You know, really, 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 really liked it.
Yeah. But in that same vein, what did you go back to that you, I mean, that was one of them, but what else did you, after recording, continue to play?
I'm taking a look. A lot of stuff I didn't go back to other than Neon Struct. A lot of stuff I actually, if I thought it was going to be important, I made the effort to beat it
mm-hmm.
beforehand. Not everything, but I did kind of my best to. So that is, you know, it's kind of hard to say. It might be nothing. there are lots of things that are planned to do.
Right.
But it looks like the things that I really wanted to play, I either actually beat it before we recorded, or I haven't gotten back to it, but still want to.
Right.
So like first, so I can't really answer that with anything. So the answer is none.
No, you can say what you plan to go. I mean, I think those are in the same vein.
Yeah, I really want to. So the first season first show we did this season was Under Rail.
Yeah.
I've always planned to go back to that. I just haven't, want to. I definitely want to keep playing Witcher 3. Which, you know, Dark Souls 3 and then Neverwinter Nights 2 for Watch Out Fireballs kind of destroyed my fall, doing a 70-hour game in there.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good, but kind of draining.
Right.
But those are the two big ones that I really want to go back to. Enter the Dungeon, I've kind of just, like, I came away from it thinking I'd go back to it, kind of eventually cooled on it a bit. you know, I think that during the episode I was more impressed with it, and I just don't know if I want to do that kind of iterative, frustrating,
yeah,
you know, thing right now. But
yeah, I echo you on Gungeon quite a bit. I think I played it for a little bit longer after we recorded the episode. I kind of thought that it was going to take the Isaac spot in my head for a bit. It felt like it was going to, and I think the difficulty curve on it just proved to be too much for too little reward, too little breadcrumbs to keep me going along and putting up with the difficulty, I think.
Yeah, that's very similar to how I felt about it, too.
Yeah. I did, however, play more of Talos Principle even after I got the ending. I think you didn't beat that one within the time frame at least.
Yeah.
I did, and then I continued on to some of the DLC and the star levels. Oh, cool. I still haven't completed the DLC. I don't think I've even completed the star routes yet. But I really, really enjoyed that game and did continue on after we recorded.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was going to ask about that. And the DLC is good.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard more than I've seen of it so far, but yes, from my understanding, it's you know, more of the same, difficult puzzles, really great.
If let's say there is like a game that we did this year, or like an indie game you played this year, even if we didn't do it for the show, which will segue into the next thing I would say, and you could like press it into somebody's hands, like it doesn't necessarily be your favorite, but like, what do you think is the thing that's like the criminally underrated thing we've done, where it's like, I can't, you know. Momodora is a really obvious answer because we talked about how it's unbelievable that game doesn't get more press. What's something if it's like, man, do play this, dude?
dude, just play this. Like Superhot's framed for that. You know, Superhot is definitely pushed this off onto other people, and I think it's deserving of that. So that's probably one. And I've heard there's a Superhot VR now, which as not excited as I ever VR stuff, Superhot sounds like a really good execution.
Yeah, I would say something very similar to that. I thought so I was gonna go for it because I thought you would go for like Factorio or something.
Yeah,
and the but I was gonna say Superhot because it's out of everything we've done this year, I think it is the easiest to like.
Yeah,
like it doesn't mean it's necessarily the best. Like I really love it. Like love that game. But it's like so easy to like, I think.
Yeah. Oh, and that's kind of the problem with Factorio actually, is that it is so uniquely fitted to a certain type of person that I think I would be torturing most people I would try to suggest that to, unfortunately. I love it clearly, but yeah, that's not something I think I can safely push onto people without losing some friends in the process.
Okay. If you're losing friends over that, might be a little bit much, but yeah, maybe. I guess that makes me think too, so like Factorio is a game that I recognize as being very good, but not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that we played this year that you had a similar experience with?
There definitely was. Like Copy Kitty, and there was something else that was also of that kind of Mega Man.
Oh, you don't mean They Bleed? Oh, 20XX or the Pixels?
Yeah, 20XX. So yeah. We played 20XX and we played Copy Kitty, both of which I can see the merits of for someone who's a Mega Man platforming type person, even though neither of those games super appealed to me. But I could see them having a fan base of people who really enjoy them.
Yeah, I can get down with that as well. Even though I enjoyed both those games for what they were.
Yeah, I think you enjoyed them more than I did, even just in the time frame we played them. But I could still see the positivity in them.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're doing Mega Man for Mega Man 2 and 3 for Watch Out Fireballs, which I'm playing now.
Nice.
And it is one of those things where I love it and it works for me. I think it'd be crazy to say there's no bullshit in those games. Like there's a little bit of bullshit. Yeah. Like, and I can see that being a turnoff for somebody who wasn't like raised on it.
That, I think that's pretty much the downfalling of those games for me, is just, I didn't play them in an early enough time in my video game development where they just feel wrong. They don't platform the way I expect platformers to platform.
There's a weird way of playing those games again has made me think about a way that you can divide games that I hadn't thought of before, which is into camps of mandatory and non-mandatory damage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like Mega Man, you have to take damage,
right?
Like you know, guys like trap you and stuff like that, and they give you frequent health pickups to make up for it, which is similar to like Halo or something like that, where there are hit scan weapons and your armor regenerates and you pick up health things.
Yeah.
As opposed to something like Dark Souls or like Castlevania, where it's like, or Odalis or, you know, Volgar the Viking or something like that, where very skilled play can make you prevent taking damage. You know, but healing is a little bit harder. You know, which is something like similar to like Doom. Like yeah. Doom, it's not hard to heal in Doom, but you like skilled play, you can avoid taking damage in Doom.
Right.
In a way you can't in like Call of Duty or Halo. And that's kind of a Mega Man Castlevania split, or even like a Mega Man Mario split. Like,
totally. Yeah.
It's pretty easy to get through. You know, Mario, at the most you can get hit twice if you have full power ups. So it's pretty easy to get through a Mario game with skill to not getting hit.
And strangely enough, I can see that being part of the recipe of what doesn't feel right about Mega Man, but I think it's also the genre in which that's being placed, because I can deal perfectly fine with a damage sponge FPS game where I'm expected to get hit. There's going to be unavoidable damage. It's happening all the time. But when it comes to a platformer, I much more prefer the type where you're avoiding any and all damage. I can definitely see that's
more,
part of the recipe.
Yeah. More control.
Absolutely.
It's kind of interesting, like two different philosophies.
Totally.
Like, compensate for the damage or empower the player to avoid it.
Totally.
And then most games actually do both. Like, it's not a black and white thing, but sometimes, you know, you run into, like, it was the thing I was noticing playing in Mega Man. It was like, oh, as soon as this guy spawned on the screen, he shot me and there's a roof over my head. So if I jump, I still get hit. So like, I'm supposed to take this hit, you know, it's just kind of interesting to see as kind of a design perspective.
So we've got some questions from some people on Slack.
Yeah, let's do that.
Bring up one of those real quick. Is there a game from this year that you wanted to play for the show and didn't get around to?
Dropsy.
Dropsy, yeah.
Yeah, I really wanted to play Dropsy. I thought we'd do it this year. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
I've heard about that. People used it like they, you know, not Kryptonite, but like it was laser targeted for me, and that like people were like, oh, I think this, you know, I think Danielle Rando, who was for Polygon and works for Waypoint now, was like, yeah, a lot of people are talking a lot of sugar about Undertale, and I think this, you know, expresses the same themes better.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like those themes. I just don't like how this game plays. I'm much more comfortable with like a point and click adventure game.
Yeah.
I should play Dropsy. And that guy's new game looks really good.
Totally. I'm really excited for that new game. I backed it on Kickstarter even because, yeah.
What is the name of that? It is a cyberpunky game.
It is a cyberpunky game, but I don't remember the name.
Yeah, the name's escaping me. But that is that's a looking forward to in 2017 game for sure.
Oh, yeah. Jumping in and post real quick just to say that the new game we are talking about is called Hypnospace Outlaw.
But yeah, Dropsy would be my answer.
Yeah, I think mine actually is Stardew Valley.
Oh, me too. Sure.
Yeah. A lot of press, a lot of sugar about that game, and I'm sure I'll enjoy it. Like, I liked Harvest Moon games, so I think that's something I definitely would have liked to have done on the show, but yeah, we just never found the time for it. So.
Yeah, Allison gave me a copy of that, and like I really need to play that.
Yeah.
Like, I have no excuse not to play it. I think I will really like it, and it. One of our community members on Slack, Elias, did a Game of the Year poll for people, and it won like the Duckfeed Slack Game of the Year.
Oh, wow.
So like over Overwatch, over, you know, lots of stuff.
Wow.
So I was very surprised to see that, and I was like, God damn, I need to play this game. So.
Oh, and just for the record, that was from Space Lion, that original question.
Oh, yeah.
I figure we'll go ahead and put out names out here since we have the usernames available.
Yeah, I'll ask one real quick. We're kind of doing these in no particular order. And we just have a few of them, too, in case people are expecting a marathon, just so you know. Searg, Community Stalwart, asks, would you say this year has been as good for indie games as it has been for AAA?
It does kind of feel that way, right? Like, I can't think of any huge breakout or like hugely dominating AAA games that have taken the same space. Like, there's AAA games that are like the Call of Duties that pick up this specific type of like gamer base, right? That I don't think you or I typically fall into, this console-y, sometimes even bro-y, maybe console space that tends to dominate what sells well. And none of those games, typically there's at least a few of those sorts of games that are good enough all around to capture everyone's attention. So yeah, maybe. I think less because of how good indie games have been, although indie games have been great, and more because just AAA hasn't been appealing to the rest of the gamer base that we fall into, that we seek out this indie space because of.
Yeah, there's not a lot of crossover.
Like Last Guardian could have been that, right?
Yeah, and Last Guardian's got kind of mixed.
Exactly.
Yeah, mixed reception.
So if Last Guardian had been the game it was being hyped up to be, that would have been a AAA game that would have
like
dominated
the transcendent.
The space. Yeah.
Yeah. I get what you mean. Yeah. Because I think this is really widely considered to be a really good year for AAA. But I think that to your point is like there's not like these breakout crossover kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And I would probably agree with that. Like there's not Last Guardian ended up having that thing.
The whole year of games, when you would include all of AAA, makes it more difficult to consider the whole scope of it, but
there's a lot of stuff that is really well received and a lot of stuff like surprisingly, you know, it's rare that a year will come out where it's like, oh, like I really loved Deus Ex, the new Deus Ex, and Dishonored 2 is probably my favorite game this year.
Right.
So like there's, you know, and then Dark Souls 3 came out, which I have problems with, but it's not like it wasn't excellent. So there were a lot of really good, big games this year. For me, it was like one of those things where it's kind of similar to what you're saying, but a little bit different, where a lot of that stuff just kind of passed me by. So some of the, like Battlefield was really, really huge. That sold really well. I don't care. Overwatch was really, really huge. I don't care. Like there were a lot of things where these were really big games and it just didn't do anything. Final Fantasy 15, I'm super skeptical about.
Yeah, don't care.
And yeah, like I kind of care, but not that much.
There's Pokemon, so, I guess.
Pokemon was really big. You know, that's, and I do care about Pokemon.
Right.
You know, there's a couple things I do care about, but I did have a feeling where I can't answer the question exactly because other than those couple of examples, there's lots of the stuff that kind of left me behind.
Right.
You know, which is fine. It doesn't mean it's bad stuff. It just means it's not for me. Well, there's also a thing this year where there was a lot of AAA flops.
Yeah.
So there were those really well considered games, but then there's also things like The Division, which I understand like really underperformed and kind of got critically slammed. Watch Dogs 2, which like underperformed. So that is like a consideration as well.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't, you know, last year where there were some kind of huge successes like The Witcher 3 and Fallout 4 and stuff. And this year didn't have those kind of tent poles, you know? So it's like the weird, like it's like the two capital A's and a lowercase a, or like the two A's and a B gaming space, you know, where something like, oh man, Hitman also was a huge hit and I really want to play that.
Oh yeah. I really want to play that. I haven't played any of the Hitman games before, but I've watched enough videos at this point that I'm interested in the series.
It's really up my alley. I played a little bit of the first one, but not that much. And we're going to do Blood Money at some point.
Nice. Off.
But I really want to play the new. So there's stuff I really want. Like, it's hard for me to call it like a failure. And then like, excuse me, in the indie space, there's lots of stuff I missed. Like a lot of things that were big indie games I either knew I didn't have any interest in. So like The Witness or something like that.
Right.
Or like there are a lot of VR stuff that people were really into. And I still can't bring myself to get that excited about VR other than super hot VR. So like,
right.
Everyone is just like, you know, Thumper is amazing. You'd love Thumper. And it's like, I think you can actually play that without VR, but it's a VR game.
Right.
And I just like, I'm not going to buy a really expensive thing for that. And I am skeptical of it in general, which is going to continue to be a thing for the show. Like if the show continues as it is now, like more and more games are going to come out like that. And there's just going to be either this blind spot or, you know, it's going to be like a $800 bullet biting.
Exactly.
For us to both get like vibes or whatever. And like
800, like a piece. Like that's not even.
Yeah. 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 Like, or, you know, like a, I don't know how much like there's a way to get one for like $400 to $600, but they're expensive.
We're listener supported guys. We can't afford that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, we don't, that number on the Patreon might look big, but it costs a lot of money to run the network too. So like we get smaller slices of that than you might expect.
To return to the question itself, I guess I feel like their AAA and indie games are on a real equal footing this year, but in totally separate columns.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And that's probably good. So WeGraph, ask a couple questions here. I'll get started with this first one. I'm reading from the bottom because that's how I read things.
Sure.
What do you think the games we play this year say about where action games are headed, indie action games are headed? This is a tricky one to answer because we play stuff that isn't new.
It's true.
A lot of times, but if you look at the stuff that we played that came out this year, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
So like Momodoro is an indie action game. Super Hot is an indie action game. You know, something like Odalis is an indie action game, which I think actually maybe came out last year. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Slayer Shock is kind of an action game. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we did. Westerado could be called an action game. I mean, that's not strictly true, but you know, I guess that's probably not true at all. But you know, we played stuff that was kind of all over the board. I think that like, if we were more specialized, I could answer that.
Right.
I think that there will be, like we said, the super hot VR, I think, and Thumper, which I mentioned, I think that will be a direction that these things go into because VR only really makes sense for indie. You know, there's not a big enough install base for big developers to want to put the money into having that kind of sunk cost, you know?
Absolutely.
Like when they put out things like Batman VR, that is a very short game. A lot of people really liked it, but it's not like it didn't have the budget of like an Arkham game, you know, or like a brand new, you know, Gigantor game.
I think if I had to, like, I could pick out a theme I'm excited about, and that is that the Dark Souls inspiration is becoming more and more blatant.
Yeah.
And it's being utilized in better and better ways. And if that trend continues and we get to see the indie space take on evolving that theme, because we're gonna run it dry pretty quick. I mean, I think Dark Souls 3 is a pretty good sign of this is not something that can pull its own weight forever,
sustain forever.
So as the indie space starts to take on how much love the Dark Souls series is getting and starts to iterate on that, we're gonna get some real cool action indie games out of it. But what actually came out this year, I think, is a weak preview of what's to come more than anything.
And that's already happened and it's going to continue, I think.
Yeah.
I want to see the Dark Souls clones that are not Dark Souls, but 2D, or Dark Souls with just a different axis.
Exactly.
So like overhead side scrolling or isometric Dark Souls, which we've had lots of. I want to see one where it is either like a weird way. I want to see a well done Lords of the Fallen where it takes the new ideas from that. Like the timed hits to recover stamina, stuff like that, like tweaks to it. And that's a little bit what Nioh is, which is not an indie game, but takes those kind of those new ideas and applies it to where there's more to the idea other than just switching the camera angle.
Yeah.
On Souls combat. I would agree with that. I want to see that. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think that this year we're mostly seeing people trying to figure out how to implement what's already there. And we need to get past that and into, okay, now how can we make this unique and special and take it to another level?
Yeah. And I would like to see, for the record, like as much as I'm Captain VR skeptic, like I do want to see indie games that take advantage of it and use it well.
Absolutely. Because
a big reason for my skepticism is that like I feel like we're going to have this period of trying to transfer things over one-to-one. And like, so the reports, things I've read about Superhot VR is that it's really neat. But you can't move around and stuff in it, really.
Right.
So does that neatness, is that enough to counteract the reduction in depth? And that's the VR question. Like your verb set is more limited. You know, like the games that work for it, like you are literally on a rail for the most part, or they are games like, Keep Talking, Nobody Explodes or something like that.
Right.
Where
movement
isn't the focus. Like that game is literally can be played with pen and paper.
Yeah,
and it's you know, kind of is, because what you're doing is just looking back and forth between two things. So I would love to see indie games like really kind of take advantage of that without trying to emulate regular games.
Yeah, and that's the space that's going to do it if anybody is. But the problem with VR though is that it's 100% hardware fetishization right now. And no actual implementation that does something cool and unique.
Well, there's like the weird little things that do stuff, and it they're neat.
But it's not enough to carry a game.
Yeah, they're not unique. So it's like you have your Superhot VR, you have your Res, and like playing Res in VR would up the immersion.
Totally.
In like a super cool way. And I know a lot of people are like, this is my favorite game I played this year. But it's still Res.
Right.
You know, and like Res is great. Like, don't get me wrong, that game owns. But it's like what you've added to it is like, it's cool, but it's not like fundamentally a new mechanic or fundamentally a new kind of system or anything like that.
Yeah.
And you know,
we get what VR adds. We're just trying to see how much it's taking away still is the problem.
And it needs to add enough to make up for what it's taking away.
Exactly.
Specifically, like it has to be something where it's like, oh, the novelty of being immersed in this, like the people who think that won't fade, I think that's bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, of course it will fade. Like people used to be scared of the train coming at the TV. And then, right. You know, now it's like, you know, you watch like screamer videos on YouTube. Like, you know, now we don't think like we're in danger of a 2D image.
Right.
At some point that thrill will fade.
Totally.
And there needs to be like fundamentally good games there. And that's kind of weirdly, you know, I'm just not seeing it as much as I want to be fully on board.
Yeah. With you.
Yeah. My Sinclair on Slack has a couple questions. First, Nick, what are your Nick's picks for 2016?
Well, in terms of games, I think we'll get to that later. But various other picks. My favorite flavor of coffee creamer is vanilla. Mm-hmm. My favorite object on my desk currently is my nice little USB stick. Mm-hmm. I didn't plan for Nick's pick, so unfortunately that's about as far as I can go, but you get the idea.
Excellent. I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but what's aged well in your mind? Like what did you play and you know, we're like, this is good, and then later you're like, you know what, that was really good. Or we're like, this isn't great, and then you've thought back on it and been like, oh, maybe it's not actually that impressive.
Right. Well, I think what feels better looking back on it, Neon Struct, I think, like, as I said, like, it didn't come on to me very strongly when we first played it outside of the soundtrack. And like looking back on it, I'd still appreciate what it is. And I want, like, when we went back and did Slayer Shock, I was like, man, now I see that he was doing something good with Neon Struct, and I wish he'd go back and further refine that.
Like that is the version of that with more systems on top.
Exactly. Yeah.
And more. Yeah.
Like I wanted a better Neon Struct instead of what we got with Slayer Shock, because Slayer Shock just had me aching for some of the mechanics in Neon Struct. Mm. So I think that one probably fares better. Is the one that fares the most improved looking back on it. The one that fares the worst might be Gungeon at this point. The fact that I was really excited about it when we were playing it for the show, I think, and I was seeing that how much there was, like the little hints it was giving me of unlockables and secret levels and stuff, and then when it couldn't hold my grasp, I think I fell on it pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So both games we brought up already, but I think those are the two that most aptly fit the question.
Yeah, that's good. For me, one thing that I think about in this, and I like this when we played it, but one of the things that I think is more impressive the more I think about it, and two things. One, we did a bunch of things that were kind of masterpieces and we rated those very highly.
Right.
So like something like 80 Days or Inside, like I think those games are phenomenal.
Absolutely.
So they didn't have any room really to go up. Like 80 Days is so impressive.
Yeah.
But we, you know, we loved it.
Inside too. I don't know what I would change about that or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Inside is number three in my games like this year. Like I love Inside.
Absolutely.
But something that, I feel like maybe I didn't give enough credit to or something. And I ended up watching a video of it and it kind of just reminded me of some things I didn't think about is Pony Island.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff it does is stuff that like everyone flips their shit over. So like when we played Oxenfree, and people who liked Oxenfree and reviews I'd read would be like, oh man, they do this thing where like the screen tears, it looks like VHS and stuff. And I'm like, oh man, that interface, like playing with shit, like Pony Island did 1,000 times better. Like that's not, that story is really simple and kind of silly, but if it's just that clever interface fuckery,
yeah,
like that game did that much better. And I never hear anyone talk about Pony Island. Like that game is not well thought of,
right?
For some reason, but is actually has aged better, like is more impressive in retrospect to me.
I gave it a lot of sugar in the episode and I think it still holds up to all that sugar, but yeah, I don't know if it's gained any more since then, but yeah,
it's very good. And we have one last question before we move on to kind of our what we're looking forward to and GOTY comrade of the year. So WeGraph also asked specifically what we think of Undertale, how it holds up. I think I answered that a little while ago. I just don't want you to think I'm ignoring you.
That says under rail, by the way.
Under rail. Oh no,
that's a much better, got me. Much got better question for you.
I haven't gotten a chance to revisit it yet, even though I want to. And before we recorded about it, I put 10 hours in. So it wasn't like, you know, which is a lot for a comrade game.
Totally.
So it's not like I haven't given it a shot. It's just, you know, something in Watch Out for Fireballs or Bonfireside Chat. This came out in February. Mm-hmm. I was probably flexing to get ready for Bonfireside Chat. You know, this is just other network stuff got in the way. So I kind of put it down. And then this, you know, this fall, you know, I've been meaning to get back to it, but Tyranny is scratching that same itch for me in a lot of the ways. So like I'm still planning to play Underreal. I haven't uninstalled it. It's still on Steam. I still have my save game, but I just have not gotten a chance to check it out more.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out any more either, and I'm not entirely sure that I'm going to. Like I appreciate what it's going for, but right now there's enough other stuff filling the CRPG itch that how kind of obtuse that game is comparatively. And how little modern takes it has on these systems. Like it's real raw classic CRPG.
Yeah,
there's no real ease of use added in that wasn't already there back when CRPGs were in their heyday. So I appreciate what it's doing. It wasn't enough to grab me to pull me back in, I don't think. So I probably won't end up finishing that game, unfortunately.
It's like I think that it does, you know, it feels like it does do some special stuff that maybe you don't get in modern CRPGs, which like what you trade is you get more of those niceties, but you also add balance, and balance can kill, you know, totally. Like balance can make something unspecial really quick, kind of saw the edges off and make it uninteresting. And like
probably the biggest flaw of Pillars of Eternity.
Yeah. But 100% is the biggest problem with Pillars of Eternity, which is a game I like.
Yeah.
Like I like that game. And it comes up it's less of a problem in Tyranny.
Yeah.
But it's been a thing we talked about in the most recent Watchtower Fireballs with Neverwinter Nights, these like elements of balance and fairness, you know, where you can't break the rules. Like you can't, attack an enemy before he is ready to be attacked, things right. like that. Those kind of like little things, Underrail isn't like that. Like you can do whatever you want. And that allows for a lot of freedom, which I really respect.
Absolutely.
So there is, I feel like it's not necessarily supplanted. At the same time though, there will never run out of games to play.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I don't blame anybody for not going back to something, because there's infinite games. So let's, what are you looking forward to next year?
Looking forward to next year. So we've already said that we're going to do Tyranny, which is released right now. And we're going to do Afterbirth Plus, which is technically being released next year.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, we're very excited about that because that's the best thing. Oh, by the way, I got a Christmas present from my mom today, and it's the Isaac sweatshirt that you were wearing at karaoke this weekend.
We're going to be sweatshirts, so, Christmas sweater, buddies.
Yeah, now we got Christmas sweater. Yeah. It's a really good sweatshirt, though.
Yeah, it's nice.
But some other stuff coming up that's supposedly going to be released 2017 at least. Well, there's an official date for Torment, Tides, and Numenera.
Oh, yeah.
Which is exciting. I really need to beat Torment before then. So that is my goal during the break, is to actually play and beat the original Torment in its entirety for the first time. Because I've started that game many, many times and I've never completed it.
I would appreciate you doing that.
Yeah. I think it's not only is it requisite before we play Numenera, it's also requisite for being someone who plays video games.
And for being my friend. Don't forget. For sure.
Divinity 2 is supposed to come out.
Yeah.
Also super looking forward to, and another CRPG, possibly Pillars 2.
Mm-hmm.
Might also come out this year. Wasteland 3 might also come out this upcoming year. So we've got more of the CRPG revival coming, and that's okay with me. We might be getting a little bit flooded, but that's, as long as there's people playing them and it doesn't stop more from being produced in the future, then
if out of all the new like CRPGs that came out, and I include like Dragonfall in that, you know, from that wave, if Pillars is the least interesting one, Pillars is still a B game.
Oh, totally.
If that's as bad as it gets, like we're gravy. You know, like that's fantastic.
That's basically what I'm saying, though, is that as long as we maintain that level and we can release all these games coming out in these same years and none of them fall by the wayside any harder than Pillars did, then gravy. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Just don't flood it so much that people stop making them again, because
100%. Yeah.
You mentioned Night in the Woods.
Yeah. I've got a couple. I'm looking forward to the same things you mentioned, of course.
Right. I'm just listing stuff off that I know we are going to play.
Night in the Woods, which is Scott Benson. It's a game he's making. Somebody I follow on Twitter. He's been on Bonfireside Chat, who is a really great artist. You may know him. He did that Feminist Stole My Ice Cream video, which is probably the most famous thing he's most famous for.
That's really good.
Yeah. That's
Scott. My God. He is a good artist.
Yeah. Scott's great.
That's a good video. All right. So that, now I'm excited for Night in the Woods. Thanks.
It's like about animals that hang out and like smoke and are kind of, you know, bad. And it looks funny. Cool. I like that. Thimbleweed Park comes out this year. So that's, Ron Gilbert's Maniac Mansion follow up, like the game that's the last game I've like kickstarted.
Oh,
so I kind of stopped doing that because I decided I'd keep my money rather than. You know?
I've fallen by the way. Yeah. I did back Wasteland 3 and I did back Divinity 2.
Yeah. So, obviously, Thimbleweed Park, I'm really looking forward to as a fan of
Gilbert.
Yeah, Gilbert and old style, you know, things. State of Decay 2 comes out next year.
Say again?
State of Decay 2.
Oh, yeah.
State of Decay was really good. I don't know. Did you spend very much time with that game?
No, not much, but I saw some of it. Yeah.
It's really good. Like, I think that game is really impressive. Like, it's a zombie survival game, which is a cliche, but it's got these simulation elements that later would become co-opted by your like H1Z1s and like DayZs and stuff.
Right.
But it's a single player thing. And it's not nearly as just like
craft,
people holding you up for your pants, goofiness. Yeah. Like it's a single player experience. So there's weird, like, you know, keeping your people happy, keeping them supplied and stuff. It's very fun.
More like This War Is Mine type?
Yeah.
This War of Mine?
Yeah, like less, a little bit more, less grim than that.
Right.
But you still, like, you know, you face hard decisions. Like, your people can be starving and you can go into a area that's, you know, really scary and you don't want to go there. It's very dangerous because your people will starve if you don't.
Right.
So there's a lot of that. That's a thing.
Cool.
That game. So you don't really want to play that. There's cool stuff. There's other stuff coming out that I'm sure I'm missing.
Right.
But I have no doubt that it'll be a good game because, or good year, because we only have good years for games now. Exactly. You know, there hasn't been a bad year for games. There's too many games that come out. So yeah.
Yeah. So then let's get to the meat.
Yeah. What's your ultimate nitpick for 2016? You don't see Planescape Torment, I'll fucking kill you.
I assume you meant of stuff we played.
Yeah. No, I know. No. It's just it's a perpetual questioning. It's always on the table.
Man, my top game that we played is probably gonna look okay. Game that came out this year that was my top game is Inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good. It's such a perfect game. But I also got to play Journey live.
Mm-hmm.
Journey was also incredibly good. I was really happy about that. And then I think Factorio takes the Nick game pick of the year.
That's Nick's ultimate pick.
That's a Nick pick of the Nick's picks games. That's the ultimate of the what's the best indie game that came out this year. Inside's the pick.
Mm-hmm. This is just so I don't say the same thing. Like Inside might be my answer.
Oh, that's fine if we say the same thing. It's a good game.
Honorable mentions, like the other thing is, and you know, Witcher 3 might be up there, even though it's not an indie game. If I beat it, because like I really love that game and everything.
I love it too.
But the other thing I would say is Momodora, because I love that game. I'm really looking forward to playing it again for Bonfire Side Chat. I know not everybody listens to this. Like I know people on our Slack were just like, why? You know, this isn't that special. Like Will, you know, my old roommate was like, that was really good, but I don't understand what the big deal is. And I think it comes back to that like modest means and modest aims kind of thing that I really respect. Like if you're going to set out to accomplish something that is kind of modest, but do it perfectly. Right. I really like that.
Exactly. I think that when if you lower your vision and it's within a small scope and then you do everything within that scope really well, why would I not put that higher than something that may have done some things well, but what scoped out was way too big and failed in a lot of other ways.
Like they're both really good. You know, like I love a flawed gem, you know, and if the thing that a flawed gem does that is really well is more special, if the rest of the game is not, you know, super great. Like, I mean, speaking of Torment, right? Like,
right.
You know, Torment has its combat stuff, which is not great. But the other stuff it does is very special. So like Torment is a better game. But just as far as things we've played this year, it'd probably be Inside, but second is just kind of fun and, you know, feel good and biggest surprise and stuff. All the kind of joy I felt with Momodora. It's also, we did it. We did it right after Enter the Gungeon, which I remember liking. I think when we were doing, I don't know what I was doing for Watch Out for Fireballs at the time, but I remember it just coming. Oh, it was also when like, the serious kind of crank started with Dark Souls 3 as well.
I think so. Where I was just kind of,
like I was just like, boy, that's really fun to play like a Souls like that isn't just about cramming Sister Frida down my dick,
right.
You know, which, so it was, it's got that going for it as well.
Totally.
Yeah. But like Inside would probably be the real Inside.
I think that was probably the quality indie pick of the year.
Yeah. And we're not alone in that. Like every indie totally. Inside made tons of lists, as well as should. Like Inside is really, really good. Let's talk about what we're doing next year.
Yeah, so as I've called them, the Comrade Dictator games, the games that were dictated to us during our stream, our charity stream, Duck Stream, that we did last month.
Real quick before you list these, I want to add two caveats. One,
sure,
this is not all of them necessarily, so if you don't hear the game that you recommended listed, please shoot me an email at gary@duckfeedtv, and you know, if I missed you, I do apologize. It's not on purpose. It's just an accounting thing. So send that to me and we'll make sure it gets added to the list. So any games anyone requested will be done. The other thing is we're not doing these in pairs. So when you kind of try to guess like what order these are in or when your game might be picked, we're doing these with smaller games because I want to give each of these like a, if not beat them, like a real solid, you know, chunk of time.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what we're going to do moving forward. Is take kind of a more meaty indie game and then pair it with something that is like an itch.io indie game.
Right. So yeah, we've made mention of that a lot this year too, is it's a lot easier for us to have one meatier game and one potatoes game.
Mm-hmm.
But itch.io has come up, itch.io, itch.io has come up as this real amazing platform for people to release like really small expressive stuff and it be in an iLine in a way that I don't think there's ever been quite the good package of before. There was like Desura or whatever and nobody released anything good on there, and there's Steam Greenlight shit, but nothing kind of gets the publicity and accessibility that itch.io's come up with this year. So that's probably going to be our main platform for searching for those potato games. And if you have any recommendations of stuff, if someone you know put out something interesting, something that just caught your eye, please, shoot us an email. The address is on checkit.comrade.com or the DuckFeed contact form or Slack or anything. Because the more we can get of a list of those, the more we can scan through and pick out to pair with these games.
Yeah, those little really interesting kind of narrative games. Again, like Killing Time at Lightspeed, which is like not a perfect game. Didn't end up on either of our lists. We didn't talk about it today. But it was really interesting and like was worth talking about. And it might give us a chance to expose people to things that they don't they might not otherwise see.
With that, the six games we have so far, and again this is probably not a complete list, and if there's anything that you swore you gave us that money, you swear you want us to play a game, then just let us know, because we didn't mean to miss you. But Crawl, which is that's kind of been a suggestion before too, we just haven't gotten around to it, but Crawl does look really interesting. Lone Survivor,
which has also been something that's been floating around for a while.
Yeah, a game that's been in my Steam library for a long time and I haven't played. Invisible Ink got talked about a lot in our Slack channel this year.
Yep.
Someone's forcing us to play it finally, which I'm sure we're going to nothing but appreciate.
Yeah, I want to do that one first out of those games, actually, because cool. I'm going to get ahead and play that. So
let's make it happen. FTL, a game I really enjoy already and haven't been able to go back to since they did that big update a year or two ago. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked it, but never played it very much. Cool. Probably because it was prior to it being on portable. I think now I can play it on portable, which is the way that I want to play that game.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Flame in the Flood, which I only just recently heard about, so I don't know a whole lot about it, but we'll be playing it. And Ring Runner, which I know nothing about. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about Ring Runner?
Nope. I only know what was in the email that was sent to me, which I don't have at the top of my head.
Okay, but we will be playing it. We'll be checking it out, and it'll be in an episode in 2017.
Yeah, it is a space shooter, an indie space shooter. Cool. I'm interested in playing all these. Like, it's actually like super freeing to have somebody just be like, do this. Real, obvious disclaimer is like, there's no guarantee that we'll like the things that you ask us to play. So if like something, if I don't like it, I'm not gonna lie about it. So right. Just keep in mind, no one is attacking you if we don't like your games. But those are the games we're going to do. I'm really looking forward to it. We are taking a break. This episode will come out on Christmas Eve. And then we will probably take a break until like for most of January, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. Get ahead, get a couple episodes under our belt, recharge and stuff.
That'll be it. So thanks for joining us for our 2016 season 3 of Check It Out, Comrade. Mm-hmm. Really appreciate you guys listening.
Yeah.
And we'll see you again in 2017.
Absolutely.